Hello and welcome, friends, to episode 32 of the Fast and Fabulous podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Montone. I'm a full-time mom, fasting coach, and podcaster. My entire adult life was always centered around losing weight and got exceptionally difficult after having kids. I had tried everything. Pills, shakes, wraps, counting calories, over-exercising. I was the ultimate yo-yo dieter. Until January 2020, when I discovered clean intermittent fasting. 3 years later, I'm down 50 plus pounds, but most importantly, I've been able to maintain a healthy weight and ditch diet brain for the first time in my adult life. So stop counting calories and stick with me, because we all have the power to lose weight and keep it off naturally. Best of all, it's absolutely free. Please remember to consult your physician before embarking on an intermittent fasting lifestyle. Also, please do not use any of the following information in place of medical advice. Are you new to the fasting world? Jumping back in, or maybe you just need help breaking through a plateau? With all of the knowledge and resources out there, it is okay to still need a bit of help. Did you know that I now offer coaching? Helping others find this freedom and setting them up for a lifetime of optimal health and wellness is my passion, and I want to help you. Please visit fastandfabulouspodcast.com to learn more. Okay, fasting fam, I am thrilled today to have Lisa Glick back on the show. If you've been tuning in, you'll recall Lisa was episode 14 in June of last year. Since then, she has been up to a lot, and I just had to catch up with her. Lisa is a retired music educator, performer, dancer, vocalist, trail runner, fitness instructor, and a carnivore and intermittent fasting coach. Lisa, like so many, has had a long history of disordered eating, weight, and health struggles, including depression and anxiety. After years of low fat, restriction, calorie counting, and obsessing about food, Lisa first found keto in 2014, which led to intermittent fasting. Today, Lisa is still evolving and adjusting. She is now keto carnivore, or a meat-based diet consisting of real, whole foods, including good fats. She is a low-carb, fat-fueled athlete and includes intermittent fasting in her active, productive lifestyle. I have a very special guest today, Lisa Glick. She was on episode 14 last year in June. So, and interestingly enough, I was just on her podcast, Bending the Trail, just a couple of days ago. Go check it out if you haven't already. It's a great podcast. I just have such a great time chatting with you, Lisa. Really.
It was so fun. It was way too fun.
It really was. So thanks for coming back on and taking your time today to share with us. And I just kind of want to update everyone on how you've been doing since, because you've come a long way in just a year. I want to talk a little bit about your podcast, Bending the Trail, and how that kind of came. You said you rebooted the podcast. So to me, that means you had it and then you stopped and now you've started again. Can you explain?
Exactly. Absolutely. So like many, many people during the pandemic, I'm a very social creature, and it was very hard for me. Plus, I had also moved from upstate New York all the way to Tucson, Arizona. So I moved halfway across the country. I had just started, you know, interacting in my new community, and then everything was shut down, locked down. And I have, as we spoke about, I have my own journey with my mental health. And the joke is, whenever I run trails, doesn't matter how well they're marked, I get lost. So the joke is, Lisa bends the trail. So I had the podcast. I started it during the pandemic. And then when life got back to more normal, I was busy seeing people in real life.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be home at the computer talking. I wanted to be out. I was starved for companionship and human interaction. So I let it sit. I knew it wasn't going to go away forever, but I let it take a break, if you will.
Yeah.
And I went back to like doing my life and teaching dance and singing at nursing homes and running with friends. And then I became a carnivore and an intermittent fasting coach. And I thought, I got more stories to tell, and I got people that have stories. And so, if you will, I rebooted it because I felt there was room in my life to add that back in. And here we are.
That is fantastic. I'm so glad you're back because this is so super awesome that I can, that you're continuing to share about intermittent fasting, all, you know, all the things that go along in life with intermittent fasting, not just fasting and feasting, repeating. It's also about moving your body. And I want to talk a little bit about that in a few minutes, but you mentioned that you are now a fasting coach. Can you give us a little bit more information about that?
Sure. So my food as medicine journey has been evolving for the last, 20, 30 years, because, you know, I had episodes with bipolar disorder and mental health, and I was on medication. And then once I started cleaning up my food, I was able to reduce and eventually go off my meds and use my food as medicine as one of my tools. So I've been evolving. And for me, this is for me, no medical advice, bio-individuality. I found that being a vegetarian was not a good lifestyle for me. I did not feel well. My mental health was compromised. And so little by little, I started incorporating more meat. So I started with the ketogenic food plan when I went through my menopause. And then that evolved to carnivore. And I was so interested in the science. I'm a musician. I was a music teacher, but I love learning. So I decided to get certified as a carnivore coach just for my own knowledge. And then I thought, you know what? I'm a teacher. I got skills. I can help people. So I got the super duper certification. I'm a carnivore coach and intermittent fasting. But here's where the way I run my practice with my clients. I'm not a militant, like only meat. I'm a big believer in bio individuality. I'm a big proponent of a meat-based diet, but I'm like, protein is king. And if you don't want to eat meat, I'm happy to work with you, but protein is king. And I'm adamant of it that people really, really need to look at their food as it affects their emotional and mental health, as well as their physical health. So that's kind of my premise.
I love that. Food Thank as you. Medicine, because yeah. I think that the journey that the health industry has gone down lately is just that they're totally not on that page. No doctor is going to tell you to change your diet. No regular doctor is going to say, oh, well, you know, change your diet, maybe, you know, whatever it is, but they're not going to tell you that. They're going to give you a pill.
Almost none. I did have a friend who is a 2-time breast cancer survivor. Wow. And she went to her oncologist and he said to her, you should go on keto. And he sent her out the door. He said, go on keto with like nothing, like no paper, no like links, no nothing. So she contacted me to get some guidance because it's been shown for some cancers, not all, not medical advice, that reducing sugar and grains helps the cancer go away because some cancers can feed on sugar. So anyway, this doctor said, you should go on ketogenic diet plan and sent her out the door. And what's up with that?
You know? I mean, maybe they're starting to get the memo that food is medicine and that we're going about this really the wrong way. So I have a question. Like, you're a carnivore coach, you're an IF coach. If you had a client come to you and say, Lisa, there is no way in hell I am eating meat. I'm a vegetarian. Okay. I've been a vegetarian my whole life. And that's just what I do. So how would you proceed with that client?
I would say if you're a vegan, I don't think I'm the right coach for you. If you're a strict vegan, meaning zero animal products, I respect that. You don't want to eat anything with a face. That's great. You need to find a different coach. But if you're a vegetarian, meaning you'll eat some eggs, you'll eat real butter, you'll eat some dairy, maybe some soy, I can absolutely work with it.
You can
absolutely
do that.
Absolutely. And I might ask them to maybe try fish one day and just think about it. But I could absolutely work with someone who's a vegetarian if they're willing to eat eggs and things like that.
Okay. Because I've actually had a few vegetarian clients and I turned a vegan, non-vegan. Sorry, vegans. If you're a vegan, respectfully, sorry. I turned a vegan, a non-vegan, and she came to me after we were done working together and said, I feel so much better.
Yeah.
She's like, I did a 360.
Yeah. So here's the deal. I totally respect and understand the ethics of people that choose not to eat meat. I mean, I love my dog. I love this, but hello, plants, they're living creatures too,
Of
and they
course.
have anti-nutrients and they have toxins. I live in the desert. You know, we have cactus. So plants have those. They have little cactus that we can't see. They're microscopic. So for me, changing from vegetarian to a meat-based diet, it didn't just like help me. It changed my life, and I will never not be an eat meater going forward because it saved me. I think when I had my bipolar disorder, I was eating like grapefruit and lettuce, and I think that contributed. I don't think that was the only reason. Now that I eat meat, I have like a completely new lease on life.
You know, I want somebody out there who may be vegetarian or vegan for the health reasons because they were told that this is a healthy lifestyle to live to be a vegan or vegetarian, and it's not really an ethical thing for them. I want you to really think about trying to incorporate meat protein in your diet, whether it's just like fish or something simple to start, eggs,
Eggs.
anything like that, because really it can change your trajectory of your healthy lifestyle. That's really important for people to hear.
It's so, I want to throw one more thing here. So here's the other thing about being a vegetarian and a vegan. Maybe when you're 20, 30, early 40s, maybe you can get away with it. But I have a friend who's about 54, and she has osteoporosis in her spine, and she can't run anymore. So you got to think about the long-term ramifications. I mean, we could go on and on about,
Well, let's talk
climate.
about that a little bit because,
Okay.
or let's spiral from that because there's a lot of listeners that are either peri during menopause or
Yep.
post. I'm peri, you're post, and there's a
Post.
whole pe you know, there's a whole plethora of people in between, ladies. So let's talk about how
And men.
important protein,
Protein.
especially animal protein, is to your bone health, your overall female hormonal well-being. Let's
Oh,
talk about
hormones,
that.
yeah. Okay, here's the deal. You know, you're a little younger than me, but in the 70s, we were like low fat, low carb, process this, process that. So often when people switch from the standard American diet and they go to vegetarian or vegan, they feel better. And usually it's because they cut out all the crap. They stopped eating the Cheetos, and maybe they didn't. But the thing about a meat-based diet, and let's be real, ancestrally, yes, we have evolved, but we are primal beings, and man, human, meaning men and women, we're made to eat meat, and it affects your bone health, your hormones, woo, like so much hormones, and your hormones affect, hello, your mental health, your clarity of thought. And before we started recording, we were talking about nursing homes. I sing at nursing homes. Oh, you don't even want to know what they feed people in nursing homes.
I do.
I
It's
did hear
awful.
a really fabulous podcast about a man who was wealthy enough to start his own business overseeing nursing homes. And guess what he did? He
Change
went
the food.
keto. He had the patients eating keto, and it changed their lives. It changed their
Wow.
mental health, and it can't guarantee, but it can help with dementia, Alzheimer's. Also, let's talk about autoimmune disorders, lupus, ADHD. I could go on and on and on and
Oh,
on and on. So,
absolutely.
protein, I can't say enough things about protein because somehow the standard American diet has gotten away from protein. It's like
Yeah.
lots of fruits and vegetables and legumes and pasta and rice, and there's like a little bit of protein. So, even if you don't want to be a carnivore and you don't want to do a meat-based diet, protein should be the main center of your plate, protein
Yes.
centric. And then the other stuff should
Yes.
be like a garnish. And that's how man is supposed to eat, man and woman, man meaning human.
Right. Yes, absolutely. I actually preach that same thing because I know that I can't get everyone to eat, you know, just protein. I don't really just eat protein, but I make protein the star.
The star. Perfect.
Always. Protein
Yeah.
should be the star of your meal. And if it's
Yes.
not, you need to reevaluate and really, really try to focus in on that protein. So you're a runner. You run very long distances, and I am so impressed by everything that you're doing with your running. How does intermittent fasting work into your lifestyle as a runner? Let's say tomorrow you have a long trail to run. I don't know what's the longest trail you run.
Well, I'm training for an ultra. So, you know,
Oh, geez.
I run like a 5 mile run is my shortest run. I run
Okay.
10, 15, 18, you know.
Well, say you're getting ready for like a 15 mile tomorrow, something like that. How would your fasting and your feasting window look in a day like that?
Yes, so that's a great question. So first of all, I want to preface this. I'm a long distance runner, but I'm slow. Like I'm super slow. So there's a lot of walking in my running, but I'll go out for 4 or 5 hours, not every day, some days. And today, like today, I did an hour. So Jim and I, my husband, we are semi-retired. So we eat dinner early. So we eat dinner like 5-ish, let's say 5, 5:30. So we eat dinner an hour, let's say, close my window. Done. Like when I am done with dinner, like I brush my teeth, done. I am really done. So, and all I have after dinner is maybe water or decaf tea, no sweetener, no milk, no cream, no nothing, not a grape, not a bite, not a nothing. So I finish, I know, sorry, a
Oh,
little
I
bit loud.
love it. You're just like nothing, nothing, nothing.
So I close my window, slam that door, and then I don't eat. The next morning, I get up early. I'll have my black coffee or black tea, and I'll go on my run. Now, if I'm doing a supersonic long run, meaning multiple hours, okay, so first of all, I can run up to 3 hours, easy peasy, fasted, meaning I drink water and I also do salt. I do the pink Himalayan salt, or
Yes.
I do electrolytes, Element, or the keto chow, they're
Keto chow.
clean fasting. You just drop them in your
Yes.
water. And I live in Arizona. It's hotter than
Oh.
so I take the pink Himalayan salt. This is I want to have a picture, but I put it in a little like jewelry plastic bag and the big ones. And I on my tongue, it's like magic, magic, magic. And I drink. So tomorrow I'm doing a 9 miler, but Saturday I'm planning a 15 miler with a friend. So what we'll do is we're going to do 8. So I'll go in fasted. We'll do the 8. We come back to the car and then I might have a little something, something. I'll see how I feel. Since I'm carnivore and even before carnivore, I was keto. So, my snacks when I'm running are like bacon jerky, those beef sticks with no sugar. I am not a carb girl. So because besides the intermittent fasting, I'm a fat burner, meaning fat is my fuel. If I had to, I could do like 40 miles without any food, which is really handy if you think about in case there was an emergency. I
Oh,
could
yeah.
go all day with no food and drink my water, and I could still be like clear, and I could respond if there was an emergency, like if we had a hurricane or we had a flood. I think like man is made to be able to fast during times of crisis. So it's not that I'm in a crisis, but also, okay, so long distance running, a lot of people get nauseous, they have stomach issues, they have to go to the bathroom. No, none of that, none of that. I'm not saying never, but I've done 50 milers where my stomach is like golden, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't exercise like that, but I exercise pretty intensely and I talk to a lot of people in the gym. I'm a talker, obviously. So I talk to a lot of people in my gym and they're always like, "Wait, you haven't eaten yet today?" 'Cause it'll be like 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, "No. Are you going to eat right after this?" Also, no. I will want to continue to use my stored fat to burn. Why not? Unless I feel if I get home and let's say I had a shitty night of sleep, let's
Right.
say I'm about to start my cycle or something, and I'm just
Absolutely.
feeling like garbage, and I
Right.
get home from the gym and you can feel it.
Right.
I mean, if you're this tapped in, but even if you aren't, pay attention because those are the days you want to go ahead and open a little early. Am I
Right.
wrong in saying that? Some days you're not going to do your 20-hour fast. Some days when you're intensely exercising, you open a little early, and that is okay. I want everyone to know that that is okay if you're intensely working out and your body is adjusted to intermittent fasting and you get home from your workout and you feel like absolute garbage, you're shaking, you're dizzy, you're nauseous, all these signs, your body's screaming at you. Listen. Let's talk about that. When you do a really long run, do you get home and if your body's screaming at you open your window?
Oh, absolutely. So I want to back up a little bit. I want to talk about this. So a lot of times when you're running long distances, a lot of people, not just me, they kind of lose their appetite because it's intense. But
Sure.
besides the running, I teach fitness classes, 63. Yeah. Okay. I
Go,
teach
girl.
twice a week. I teach a dance fit and some strength training, blah, blah, blah. So Monday, Wednesday, I teach. I get up, I walk the dog, maybe half hour. I go teach an hour class. It's very intense. So I'm teaching, I'm thinking, I'm cueing, I'm worrying about everyone else. When I get home from dance, I eat. I open my window early on those days because it's not even just the physical. I've been like, I'm thinking, I'm putting out tons of energy. After my 1 hour high intensity aerobic class, 9:30 to 10:30, those days I'll often open my window like 11:15.
I totally get that.
And I'm not feeling nauseous. I'm not feeling shaky.
Yeah.
I can describe it. For me, I don't really get hungry anymore. I really don't.
Yeah.
I feel depleted. So
yeah, that makes sense.
I don't feel like I'm starving. I got to eat. I feel
yeah.
like, ooh, my body is a little depleted. I need to put in the nourishment. So
yes.
for me, actually, when I do the shorter exercise time, that's when I often will open earlier because it's like a different intensity. So
yeah, that makes a lot of sense actually, because you're more like your whole body's engaged, your mind's engaged. It's a lot of things going on.
It's a lot. And I walk to the gym and I walk back. But anyway, I want to stress what you just said. So, because I see this in a lot of different fasting communities. We have one called the fasted running. I forget the name of
yes,
it.
Yes.
But people are like, oh, I had to do my 13 mile training run and I like didn't want to eat and I had to fast. And I'm like, why? Like what? If I'm doing a long run, like tomorrow I'm doing a 9 miler, halfway through, if I'm a little hungry, I wear a hydration pack,
yeah.
you know, with the hose.
Sure.
I always, always, always keep food in there. Well, because I'm in the woods and
of
God forbid
course.
Something happens, you know, you
Sure.
need emergency. But if I'm halfway through and I'm on run and I feel like I need to eat, out comes the bacon jerky and I eat. And I don't go, oh, bad, bad Lisa, because you broke your fast. Wrong. My body, well, obviously I've been doing this long enough and I honor my body and I listen. And some days I eat right after 3 miles, maybe. It depends.
You have to listen to your body. And when you're doing these intense days, and even if you're not on the trail, like you said, sometimes you're just, it's easier to be fasted in that fasted state because you're out there kind of, you're releasing stress and you're in nature. And it's, I would say you're probably relaxed in a sense, almost in
yeah.
certain points of it. But when you're teaching, you're using your mind and you're like busy, busy, busy everywhere. I can relate to that because it's like when my kids are home and even if I go work out, same thing. I'll go work out. If they're not here, I can keep fasting for hours. But if they're here, I'm like, where's the food? Why am I? Oh God. Like, yeah, it's just, I can't do it. And I just, those days I will just break a little early sometimes.
Right.
I will.
Yeah.
And I don't feel guilt about that at all.
Yeah. And then there's another whole conversation, but I also think it's really better for your body to mix up your fast because some of these people get
100%.
Really rigid. They every day they do 18 or they do 17 or whatever. And so for me, on a day like today, I have a gig. I'm singing at 3 o'clock. So I'm not going to eat until after the gig because I'm singing. It's physical.
Yeah.
I want to be present. So I'm having my tea and my whatnot. I'm going to get dinner ready. Jim will stick it in the oven. The minute I get home from the gig, I'll eat. So what I'm saying is I vary my fast. So like today, it'll be like almost 20 probably by the time I eat. But tomorrow I'm doing a 9 mile run. I'm eating the minute I walk in the house after my 9 mile
it'll
run.
It'll be short tomorrow. Shorter.
Yeah. So, okay. And so that's me, but I have to say I'm a very, very experienced faster. I've been doing
yes,
this a long time. It evolves, you know, like your hormones change, your life changes, things evolve. And we were just traveling. When we were traveling, some days I did 18, some days I did 14. Because
yeah.
I'm like, I'm out in Colorado hiking in the mountains. I'm not worrying about, you know, I just try to eat clean and honor my body.
Let's talk about how some folks out there are very rigid with their schedules. We kind of talked a little bit about this before we started to record, and I want to touch on it. We get a lot of people asking in the group, especially to somebody who's had a success story, what is your fasting protocol? We see this all the time, right?
Yeah.
That exact statement. What is your fasting protocol? My answer is always, it's different for everyone. So we were talking about that. Let's go off about that a little bit. And what would you say about that? Keeping it, mixing your fasting protocol up.
There's a lot of issues with that because the main one is like, you don't want to try and copy someone else. Like you need to make it right for you. So I'm 63. If you're 42 and you're still having your menstrual cycle and you have a job and you have children or you get a crappy night's sleep, I have a different lifestyle now. I have a lot more flexibility in my schedule. I really think it's so, so, so important for people not to be, oh, Lisa does it this way, or Michelle does it this way, or Judy does it this way. You need to do what works for your body. We talk in the fasting community about finding your sweet spot. Work it until it's easy. Not that it's like, well, we talked about this, kumbaya and unicorns, but you need to find what works for you. And that kind of philosophy, it concerns me because it's like, oh, like I'm wearing blue mascara and like teal eyeshadow. Like maybe that's not what you need. So it's the same thing with your food. I think you really need to do what works for you. And women, your hormones, girls, like if you're near your cycle, who is it? Dr. Mindy Pels talks a lot about fasting like a girl. She wrote a book about it. You have to really honor your cycle. I'm way done with that. But even though I'm postmenopausal, this is really interesting. At the end of the month, when I used to get my period, I get like, it's like a little, like, I feel a little bit the same. Not quite as much. Like my breasts get a little tender. I get a little weepy.
Interesting.
And I'm like, wow, like what is going on here? So you need to honor your cycle and your hormones and maybe not dig in to those longer fasts right before your period, ladies. Okay. Maybe that's not what your body needs. So I really think it's so, so important. Or you were up all night with a sick baby, or you were up all night worrying about a work issue. If you got no sleep, maybe you need to open your window a little earlier, right? Because here's the thing.
100%.
Fasting shouldn't be like this stress, right? And shouldn't cause you more anxiety. Maybe you need to just allow.
Really, when you lose sleep, when you are coming up to your period, your cortisol is high. And when your cortisol is high, fasting is very hard. Okay. That's just plain and simple. It's just difficult. You're going to white knuckle. It's not going to be a fun situation and you're not going to want to stick with it. If you're still menstruating, ladies, fellas, sorry. If you're still menstruating, pay attention to those days leading up. I don't think you need to be as rigid and say, I'm not going to fast at all in those days. I think that's a little bit too much. But I really do believe that when you shorten your fasting window on those days and really honor your body with nutrients, eating to satiety, really listening to what your body needs, then you're going to find a different experience in your fasting. You're going to be in a much more pleasant person. Your hormones are going to be much more balanced. I actually started tapping into this idea, not the thing where Mindy Pelt says not to fast, but I was like, well, maybe she's on to something. So I decided I would kind of like gear back on the days, especially the day one of my cycle, or like if I just ovulated or something like that. I can, at 42, I feel everything. So I scaled back and I can't tell you the difference I felt in my, like all of my PMS symptoms that you get during perimenopause are pretty much gone at this point.
Wow.
That's not to say my cycle's gone, but those awful symptoms I was having pretty much 80% of the month, they're gone.
And so here's the thing though, we need to like make this crystal clear. It's okay to shorten your fast, but you don't go eat chocolate, okay?
Oh, no.
Or Oreos. Protein. And I have to wonder with you, Michelle, if because you have started focusing more on your protein, if that's also helping some of those symptoms.
Well, I think so. I think it is because I'm building more lean muscle.
Yeah.
And I feel a lot better. And it's kind of, maybe this is oversharing, but I don't really give a shit. Sorry, everyone. Started eating more protein, focusing on protein back in November.
Okay.
And my gut was completely thrown because I was a very plant focused person before.
Oh.
Not that I didn't eat meat. I ate meat, but I never ate red meat. Because it would give me like some digestive issues.
Okay.
And so I am trying to still to figure out my gut issues at this moment. And I've now removed red meat from my diet, even though it really pained me to do that because I love red meat. I removed it and now my gut is kind of feeling a lot better.
Interesting.
It's painful for me because I crave, now I crave red meat.
Interesting.
I want it. But yes, I think that absolutely. Adding more protein into my diet has helped regulate my hormones.
So, speaking of that, I just listened to a fabulous podcast, Dr. Georgia Ede, Ede. She's a psychiatrist who incorporates food as part of her healing in her practice. And she, here's the thing that she said, Michelle, she's pretty much carnivore, but she can't eat red meat. So she
Oh,
has such a sensitive gut. She had
that's
IBS. She
me.
had all this, blah, 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 blah. She eats a lot of chicken,
Yeah.
eggs. She eats like lamb, I think. So you should check her out because she's a
I will.
genius. She's right about your age. And she is a psychiatrist. She had her own aha moment with her own health journey. And she was like, I'm going to start using this with my patients. So the thing about red meat is very interesting because she's talked about let your gut lead you because the microbiome,
Yes.
right? So for me, I never met a salad I didn't like back in the day. Like I would eat like big, like bowls, like these big, humongous bowls, and
Yeah.
my stomach would get like all bloated. And now, like, I'll have a hamburger with like a piece of lettuce, like one piece
Yeah.
of lettuce, you know, or two Brussels sprouts, but I don't eat like a whole bowl of them. So because my gut was like, Lisa, they taste good up here, but they don't work down here, right?
Yeah, and we're all very different with it when it comes to those like really the cruciferous vegetables and stuff like that,
Yeah.
the Brussels sprouts, the kale, stuff like that. It can be very hard on our gut. And I'm not saying that don't eat greens. I think greens are amazing and you should definitely incorporate them into your healthy lifestyle because they're full of fiber. But at the same time, if you're overeating them and you're
Yeah.
bloated and you're not really sure why you're getting bloated and maybe having an upset stomach, maybe consider reducing the amount of those greens because it could be really messing with your gut.
So when I was teaching, you know, I would bring a big salad for lunch every day. And so this is like my own joke. Like I would start the day, I'd wear a pretty dress with like a belt. And as the day went on, I also all day long, because I taught music and I was singing and talking, I had the sugar-free cough drops all
Oh,
day
yeah.
long, all day long, all day long. And they have the artificial sweetener. So all my stomach will go bleh, bleh. Like seriously, I would start the day on like notch three. And as the day went on, I would have to loosen the belt. And then when I went keto, I was like, hello. Oh, I wanted to also mention the cortisol thing, and I want to talk about men. Let's because
Yeah,
we don't want to
let's
leave the
talk
men
about
out.
men. Let's not leave men
So
out.
let's talk about men. So my husband, very slender, he also does intermittent fasting because he has a family history of dementia and skin cancer. But when he eats because he's very skinny and he's trying to build muscle. But I want to talk about hormones for men too. Hello. So I'm
Let's do that.
63. My husband is almost 64, and it's not too much information. This is life. Sex is part of life. The man,
Absolutely.
I gotta tell you guys, fellas, the man is so freaking feral. We're like newlyweds. I'm like, damn boy, damn boy. So we're sort of on a honeymoon. You know, we're newlyweds. We're like, it's second marriage for both of us. We're thrilled to be with each other. I just want to throw this out for all the vegetarians and vegans. My husband is so virile. He's like, I'm not going to compare, but he is like a 25-year-old. So I just want to talk about the hormones and the men. So he's an intermittent faster. He eats a meat-based diet and he lifts weights.
Yeah.
And weights increase your testosterone. And the cortisol is bad. I mean, we need a little cortisol. We want it like, don't we want to be like, bleh. But too much cortisol for men and women, not good. So we want to really watch our stress and we want to make sure we're eating in a way that doesn't stress us out.
Absolutely. I'm really proud of him for taking control of his health. And
Oh, he's amazing. And he's a scientist. So,
oh,
like, I
wow.
get the benefit because he, like, reads all the papers and he can tell me what's a good study and what's a bad study. So, he's been a real big help. So, if anybody
That's
comes to me
good.
for coaching, you get two for one because of my
That
husband.
is so awesome. Listen, you get a scientist and a fasting coach
There
combined,
you
and
go.
that's like superpower knowledge right there. I love that we like went back to talking about sex because we talked about sex in
We
our first
did.
episode back
We
last
did.
year, and I'm glad that we did because sex is an integral part of life. It is human nature. Let's talk about fasted sex. Why not?
Yeah. So here's the thing about sex, though. It's not like, ooh, like your sex drive is an indicator of your overall health. Okay. I'm going to say that again because this is really
Listen
important.
up, people.
Your sex drive is definitely an indicator of your overall health. So being postmenopausal, I'm going to just be real, like down to earth. Women have vaginal dryness, they have all these things. But me, Me eating the meat-based diet, all that collagen, it's like a natural moisturizer. And my libido is, I mean, I'm madly in love with my husband. Your libido is definitely an indicator of your health, physical and mental. So if you have a low libido, that's something that you got to pay attention to. It's not like, oh, I'm in my 60s, it's not important anymore. Wrong. Or I know when people are raising families and they have young children, and the last thing they want to do at night is have sex. Okay, I'm going to be really blunt here. So we're retired. So we have sex during the day and we make an appointment. I put it on the calendar. And I mean, sometimes we just go for it, but we schedule it because we want to make sure it's an important part of my life. Like I schedule my workout, schedule, all these other things. I schedule time with intimate time with the husband.
I think that's great because I'm not in my 60s. I'm 42. We do the same thing. We schedule it. And my husband works from home. I work from home.
Oh, nice.
So we do take advantage of our daytime
Yes.
intimacy time. It is so much better. The kids, not being here, things are just, you can be louder and stuff. Sorry if
Right.
that's TMI.
Be
I'm from
free.
New Jersey. I'm a naturally a loud person and I'm Italian.
Yeah.
No, it really has changed my libido. And I think it's changed my husband's because it's not that we didn't ever have it before. It's just that now we feel so much better. And like you said, it's a direct connection to
It
your
is.
overall wellness.
It is.
So if
It
you're
is.
not feeling like your mojo is there anymore, you need to start digging a little bit deeper. It might
Yeah.
not just
So,
be like you're aging. That's not
yeah.
it.
So I also think the other component to that is you lose weight, you feel better about your body. And I know if you and your husband are both working out and you're more fit. I know my husband would love me at any weight, but I feel really sexy because I look good. Let's be real. I
You
look
do.
really good and
You
I feel
do.
good. And I'm like, I'm owning that,
As you should.
People like go, they want to talk about sex, but it's like we talk about everything else. So we talk about constipation, we talk about all the things. It's all part of being a human being.
It's part of life. And I always stress this to every single person that comes on my podcast. And I don't have to tell you, but nothing's off the table here. We can talk about whatever we want. Sex is part of life. And if you're not having it, if you're not feeling like having it, take a look at your health, go get your labs drawn,
Yeah.
look at what you're eating. Maybe you need to incorporate fasting into your life. Maybe you need to take out all of your complex carbohydrates. Maybe you need to take out refined sugar. Look at your diet.
And
I mean,
alcohol.
and oh gosh,
Alcohol.
alcohol
Yeah,
too.
I'm not saying don't drink, but if your libido is low, alcohol, it's a depressant. So just think about it. I'm
Oh,
not.
100%. Everything. When I say eat, it's just everything you're putting in your mouth, eat or drink. Yes, look at it all. I like to talk about non-scale victories. We're going to shift a little bit from sex to non-scale victories, even though I feel like that's a non-scale victory in of itself.
People are like, what do they talk about in this podcast? You got to tune in about 40 minutes in, folks. Okay.
Oh my gosh, you crack me up. Non-scale victories, besides having more sex, what has been your biggest, most significant non-scale victory you've experienced in your whole journey?
Have so many. I made a list.
Okay,
So
cool.
the reason I started the keto, which led to the IF, because we were doing so much exercise in our early 50s and we were achy. Like every time we got up, we're achy, achy. So the first non-scale victory is the inflammation reduction. I'm going to say that again because I like to say this, inflammation reduction. So the fasting, autophagy, cellular cleaning, it's like a detox, right? And also, cleaning out my diet, taking out all processed crap and meat-based. So inflammation. So let's talk about inflammation because we mentioned dementia and Alzheimer's. So they are saying, the scientists, there is data that is leading to the thinking that dementia and Alzheimer's are almost like diabetes 3, meaning it's inflammation of the brain. I have a family history of Alzheimer's, and so I'm doing everything preventive. I can't guarantee I won't get it. Maybe I'll be that crazy lady in the nursing home with the mascara. I'm doing everything preventive. So the physical reduction of inflammation, that was immediate, like immediate. We both were like, wow. And there are many elite ultra distance runners that do keto and intermittent fasting for that very reason, for you recover faster and so on. So that's a big one. The other thing about inflammation, depression is also considered inflammation of the brain. So I have a history, long story history with bipolar, depression, anxiety. So the fasting and the protein centric food plan is really, it's crucial. It's crucial to my mental health. So I care how I look. I like to look good. I like to wear my small clothes. I like to look nice. But even if I was 10 pounds heavier, the mental health aspect of fasting, it's part of my life. I will never give it up. If I went to a doctor and he said, oh, you have to stop because blah, 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 I'd be like, bye-bye, right?
Find
Bye-bye.
another doctor.
My skin, look at me. I haven't had any work.
I
63.
mean, honestly, you have got amazing skin.
Thanks. And I'm out in the sun all the time. I'm out in the sun. I don't lay out, but I'm out doing stuff. I do wear some protective clothing. I do wear a hat. So many things. And I'm a singer. Okay. Ha.
Oh,
So
I want to talk
singing.
about this. How has it affected
Yeah.
your singing?
So I'm a vocalist. And when I was back in the day, I was always phlegmy and I was having to spit into a tissue and I was constantly needing like lozenges to keep my throat moist. So phlegm, bye-bye phlegm. Okay, no more phlegm. And a lot of the ding, I can sing all the high notes. And I step back from the mic. My singing is so much improved. And I used to have like a lot of tension in my jaw and my neck. And it's like
Gone.
gone. Gone.
Wow.
Oh, I got it. This is a fun one. This is not a big deal, but it is. So I'm 63, and a lot of women, when they get older, they get like little bald patches. So my daughter got married a year ago, September 2022.
Beautiful wedding, by the way.
Thank gorgeous, gorgeous
Gorgeous, gorgeous bride.
spreadsheet, all the spreadsheets, it was so organized. So anyway, I had cropped my hair really short. We moved from New York to Arizona because I'm like, oh, I don't want to deal with my hair. I'm swimming, I'm running. So I cropped it really short. Then when Wendy said she's getting married, I'm like, better let my hair grow. So back in the day, I was a slow grower. Like when I was younger, if I cut my hair, it took forever, forever to grow back. Okay, so now I'm eating a meat-based diet, intermittent fasting, 6 months. Whoop! The hair, like, whoop! It didn't just grow, it was like thick. And my husband too, he had a bald spot. He's like not bald anymore. His hair like grew
What?
in. Yeah, what?
My gosh.
Yeah. So, oh, and I want to throw this out. So, this comes up in the we see this in the intermittent fasting community often, and also in the carnivore. People go for their labs, and the doctors are all worried about their cholesterol. Okay, so my cholesterol, okay, get ready, combined is like 300. But my happy HDL, it's not even on the chart. Like I went to the doctor, it's like off the chart. It's like 130. It's like higher than ever. So you take your triglycerides and you divide them by your HDL. And mine is, you ready? 0.04. Anything under four is good. Mine is 0.04. So yeah, take the triglycerides, you divide it by the happy. That's how I remember it, HDL, and you get the numbers. I went to this other doctor who I fired, and he said, oh, your cholesterol, banana, too high. I'm going to put you on statin. I'm like, oh, no, you're not. So I went for the calcium artery CAC test. What that is they you put your little MRI machine, and they look at the arteries in your heart to see if there's any calcification. Okay, so I went when I was 54. I had a zero at 54,
Wow,
zero.
that's
And I
awesome.
just went last year at 62 and a half. And guess what? Another zero. So do I need statins? I do not need statins. The point I want to make here to everyone is when you're an intermittent faster or a meat-based diet and you go for those labs, because your body is using fat for fuel and it's breaking it down, the labs are gonna look off to the traditional doctor. This is another whole conversation, but the way we measure cholesterol now, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's antique. It's wrong. So please don't be like, oh, my doctor says I can't do fasting, can't do meat-based diet. My cholesterol's too high. We need cholesterol. It oils the joints. It oils the neurons in your brain. Cholesterol is important. What I'm saying is, even though on paper it looks like I have high cholesterol, when I do the ratio thing, 0.04 and a zero on the calcium score. Hello, 63.
That's amazing. And you know, it's interesting you brought that up because I had my labs drawn shortly after I had increased my protein, probably like a couple months in. So it was a good indicator. And my cholesterol was oddly high. I don't remember exactly what, I could pull it up, but I don't remember exactly what it is. I did that little equation. Of course, I freaked out a little. My doctor wasn't, he was like, that's no big deal. He didn't really say much about it, to be honest. But I was like, all right, you see the out of range, abnormal or something when you look at your own labs. And so I'm like trying to figure this out. And I reached out to one of my moderators who is also a nurse. She was a former ICU nurse. She told me that equation.
Oh,
and I'm like, okay, I'm do the equation. And I was at like a 0.07 or something
oh
like
my
that.
God. That's oh my God, that's like the Rolls Royce.
And I'm like, and she's like, what? She's like, you're fine, you're fine.
You're not fine, you're great. You're great. Great.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's the deal. The cholesterol thing, big pharma, the numbers, the paper, the range, they put the red, the exclamation point. Mm-mm-mm. So you need to excuse me, do your research. Okay. So non-scale victories. The hair, the sex drive, the joy, the mental clarity. So I still have a little anxiety and depression. I think that's something I will always live with. But now I can like reel it in before the snowball goes rolling down the hill. I will never, ever, ever stop fasting. And I hope I can always be a meat-centric diet. I mean, who knows what will happen in the future. And I keep finding new things. Like, I'm like, oh, like this is like my back. Oh, I broke my arm 2 years ago. Oh, this is the best. This is the best one.
Ooh,
I broke my arm. I was 61. I fell off a standing bike. I dove into the ground. I broke my arm.
Oh, gosh.
Clean break. No, it's good. Humorous, clean break. The pain, ouchie, ouchie. So go to the orthopedic. He looks at the paper. 61. 61. Yeah, I didn't need surgery, but he said, 61, you'll never, never going to be able to do an overhead press. I go, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Watch me. So intermittent fasting, carnivore, bone broth. I healed. Every time I went, he was like, how old are you? He kept looking at the film. I healed. So look, look, can you see?
Amazing. Oh,
this is my arm.
I
can do this. I can do this. I'm at like 100%.
I was going to say, I think you have a full range of motion there. Like
I have so full range of motion and I have no discomfort, like none. It's been almost 2 years and I did my little exercises, but sure. I am positive. It was the collagen from the meat and the autophagy from the fasting. So if that doesn't sign you up, I don't know what will.
I really don't know what will, because that is outstanding. All of it. All of it. It is always a joy talking with you, really, because I feel like we're like some kind of long lost soul sisters or like cousins or something.
After the other day when we spoke, I'm like, I need a phone number. We need to like visit on the phone.
Yeah, I think so.
Like we need to like hang out.
I really, honestly, really, it's so cool hanging out. And I hope one day we can hang out in person and have this amazing banter that we have. I want to thank you for being such an amazing light and joy in our fasting community, because you do inspire so many people. You're helping so many people. You're helping spread the seed of intermittent fasting. I couldn't be more thankful for you there. So thanks so much for always being such a joy and contributing to our community and inspiring so many.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for having that community. And I just want to mention one quick thing. You and I touched on this the other day at my interview. When you put down the food and you start fasting, you get real clear about your intentions in your life, the things that are important. We talked about this a little bit, like fasting is not all rainbows and wonderful, because now that I'm fasting, I have to face my demons. And I started going back to therapy because I started having a lot of anxiety this past winter. I don't know why. It just like appeared out of nowhere. I think there was like things in my past that were kind of bubbling up, and it's okay. It's okay. So the fasting, like, it's like an onion. It peels away the layers. So sometimes there's good things and sometimes there's painful things that you have to deal with. I want to mention, like you, we talked a little bit about the performing stuff. Mm-hmm. So you're doing your podcast and you're doing your coaching. I'm going to come back to you because you're going to get back to performing when the time is right. And I'm going to be your mentor.
You're gonna push
I'm going
me?
To help you. I am. I will. I said it here. You heard it. You can hold me to it because she's my new friend, Michelle.
I would so love that. I would absolutely love that. I would love to be on stage again. Lisa, thanks again for coming on. Always such a blast. We're going to do it again and probably again. And that is totally fine with me because every single time, just like fasting, we're growing, we're peeling back the layers. I always learn something from you. And that's why I love talking to you. You're just such a positive light, and keep doing what you're doing. Honestly, I will link Lisa's podcast and her coaching information in the show notes if you're interested in reaching out to her. Thanks again for being with me.
Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful day.
You too, friend.
Thank you all again for listening today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Follow me on Instagram at Clean Fasting Mama. If you would like to hear more on my story or sign up for my newsletter, please visit fastandfabulouspodcast.com. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave me a review. Fast on, friends.